You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, Jesus tells us. But what if salt goes flat? What if the light is hidden? What if we are not what God has made us to be? Well, we are good for nothing. Good for nothing. What kind of a God would say that to us? What kind of God would offer compliments and then refute them if they are not heard and heeded? I must admit that Jesus in our gospel today tells it like it is and pulls no punches in the process. In language that is clear, simple and direct, Jesus tells the disciples just what they are to do and how they are to do it. Jesus begins by setting up for the disciples the image of salt and the image of light. Salt had many uses in Jesus' world, even more than in ours. It was a preservative for food in time of no refrigeration. Roman soldiers called their salary salarium, salt, which was to buy food and ensure life. Slaves were bought and sold in exchange for salt. It helped heal wounds and infections. The 4 ounces of salt in our bodies enable our muscles to contract, our blood to circulate, and our hearts to beat. I can still remember my mother getting us to gargle with salt water at the first sign of a sore throat. Salt makes a tomato. Salt makes a roast beef sandwich because it perks things up. But as you know, there are many people, and I count myself in that number, who have a problem with salt. Health experts tell us that salt is not good for us. Many people spend a lot of time looking for low-sodium products and salt substitutes. But here, Jesus seems to be referring more to the flavor of the salt. And light. Light illuminates. Light warms. Light destroys darkness. It lifts spirits. It's so important spiritually that the Quakers have an expression. They say, "I'll hold you in the light," instead of saying, "I'll pray for you." Jesus spoke today in the gospel of lighting a lamp and putting it under a bushel basket. It would have been foolish to light a lamp and then extinguish it right away by covering it. Its proper use would have been to put it on a stand and let it light the house. My friends, today we are the disciples to whom Jesus gives these instructions. We are the ones who must take these images to heart and be for the world salt and light. In other words, we must season one another and bring out the goodness in one another. In any relationship, in any setting, at work, at recreation, at school, in casual contacts, in our parish community, our role is the same: to preserve, to strengthen, to encourage goodness, to enlighten, and to dispel the darkness. This is what salt and light do. We are to become people who will bring a whole new taste to the world we live in. We are to God flavor it, if you will. We are to create a new kind of zest, a new appetite, a new craving. Like salt, our care of others will bring out the best of a world that has turned sour. And like the radiance of a lamp, we can enlighten the world that is floundering in darkness. From Jesus' point of view, the more we create a God flavor to life, the more we become light. We are the salt of the earth because we enter into the world and make a difference. We are the light of the world because of what we do, what we say, how we live, and who we are. In the pre-baptismal liturgy before Vatican Council II, it was interesting that after receiving the light of Christ, the newly baptized child received a pinch of salt on his or her lips. Brothers and sisters, in just a month, we will begin another Lent. And Lent is that time in the liturgical year when we reflect on our redemption and on our need for conversion. And our scriptures today lay out a possible plan of action because they summon us to take a stand for God by taking a stand in support of others. You heard those words in our first reading. The prophet Isaiah reminds us of what being a light to the world really means. It means sharing our bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and homeless, clothing the naked, and never turning our back on a brother or sister. And according to Isaiah, if we do these things, our light will break forth like the dawn, and our wound shall quickly be healed. My friends, until our hopes for justice become our work for justice, until our prayers for peace and unity in the world are first lived in our own home and community, until our professed belief in God affects every part of our life, we are as good as flavorless salt. We are as useful as light hidden away under a basket. So when Jesus calls us to be salt and light, he expects us to make a difference in the world around us, not for the sake of our own notoriety, but for the kingdom of heaven and for the glory of God. In a profound way, it's the word we share here today that keeps the salt of faith fresh and alive. It's the light of this altar sacrament that reveals Jesus to us and holds us in the warmth of his presence in the Eucharist. Today, Jesus' words in the gospel may even be more challenging than Isaiah's, but it's Paul's words in our second reading that should encourage us as we face the challenge. Paul approached his ministry in weakness and in fear and much trembling, because Paul knew that it was God's power at work within him. Because it's with the power of God that we, my brothers and sisters, can transform the world. As I mentioned at the beginning of this homily, our God is a God who tells it like it is and who pulls no punches in the process. My friends, this is the God in whose image we have been made, and whose power is at work in us. This is the God whose rising light dispels the gloom, and who becomes the dawn in our darkness. Ours may only be a little light, but if each of us lets our light shine, we can indeed make a difference. Amen.